Okay, we're still on Chofei Omid Beis. Omer Abaye, it's the ninth, tenth line, within the first big lines here. Omer Abaye, Tzoa Kol Shum Avatla Barok. You have a small amount of Tzoa, you can spit on it and mevatl it. Omer Rava Ubarok Ova. It has to be thick spit. The Rashi? No. Okay. The idea here is two different opinions. Why? What this thick spit does? The Ra'or says that it covers the tzoah, and therefore regular water wouldn't be considered a covering. And once it's covered, it's like tzoah bashoshes. It's like in a encased clothes, and it's not machanech. It's not within your machaneh. The Rabbeinu Yonason says that it's only talking with as a reyach, and you need a rogue of that to stop the reyach. But if there wouldn't be any reyach, then even water would be good enough to cover it up. Okay. Let's go on. Omar Rava, Tzoa the Goma, Meiniach Sandalo Aleva, the Kori Kriyishma. You have Tzoa in a hole. So you can put your foot over the hole, and your shoe serves as a mechitza between the tzoa and you, even though you're wearing your shoe, that's the chiddush, and you're allowed to read kriyishma. Bo marbere dravina tzoa devuka besandlo mai. What if the tzoa is stuck to your shoe? Teku. So the Gemara says teku. The shaila is like this. Machlokas the Rambam and the Ravid, what exactly the shaila is. The Rambam holds that even if the tzoa is just touching your shoe, right, that which you have a chiddush at the shoe is not considered. If you wouldn't have a shoe on, and you'd be stepping with your foot over the hole where the tzoa is, not touching the tzoa, that wouldn't help because your foot can't be a mechitza between you and the tzoa. But your shoe, even though you're wearing the shoe, but the shoe can be a mechitza. But if the tzoa is touching the shoe, since you're wearing the shoe, and the tzoa is touching the shoe, then the shoe can't be a mechitza anymore. That's what the Rambam holds. The Ravid holds only where it's devuka. It's not just touching. But if the tzoa is stuck to the shoe, then it's bottled to the shoe. And the shoe is bottled to you, then the shoe can't be a mechitza. So machlokas whether the tzoa has to be stuck to your shoe, and that's the only time it doesn't, that's a shaila, and that's what's teku. Or even if the tzoa is just touching your shoe, that also is no good, or that's at least what the takeaway is. Omer of Yehuda, Akum Arum also likros kriyishma kenegdo. You have a naked goy, his erva is also considered erva, and you're not allowed to read kriyishma kenegdo. Where it says, my ira akum afili Yisrael nami, right? Why dafka it's mashmur that's only a goy? Even a Jew not, where it says, of course a Jew. Where it says, no, Yisrael pshitle da'asa. Of course, an Israel is osir, Erev of Israel is osir. We've been learning till now. Ela akum itzrichle, right? The chiddush is that even a goy, mao the same, aho luksi bahu asher basar chamorim besorim, ema kechamor bi'almahu. I might think, since it says by a goy that their flesh is like the flesh of donkeys, that he has a din of an animal. You see from here clearly, the Rishonim say that the heir of an animal is okay. You're allowed to read Kriyishma opposite a naked dog or a cat or whatever. Their heir is not considered heir. But a goy is still human, still considered what's it called an heir. Kamash Malon, the inunami ikru heir. You'll see the heir basadi hen lo ro. Okay. Not sure though, I wasn't able to find clearly if that's legabi the real heir. That was the erva that's from the Torah itself, okay, the Mokum ha-erva. But how about the other halachas, Tefach Megula, Sar Be'isha, Kol Be'isha, Shok Be'isha, all the other halachas, right, that are not erva mamish, does that apply to a goy or not? It would seem that any of the halachas that apply to erva as erva, there may be an idea that by a goy it doesn't apply. But wherever it applies because of hearer, because of your bad thoughts, that a goy is molded bad thoughts just as much as a Jew, right? So, but if it's totally in erva itself, right? If it's erva or not erva, then we only have a raya from the pasuk that the real erva is called erva. But anything else that the chachamim added maybe doesn't apply to a goy. I'm not sure. Rashi, No Rashi. Let's go on. V'lo yishkasa lo b'mayim haroyim v'lo b'mei ha-mishra mishra ad shiyak l'tochan mayim. You can't use smelly, putrid water or water that was used for cleaning clothing, which also smells, until you pour water into them. Mara says, v'kama mayim rami v'azel. How much water can you pour into these reservoirs of water that's going to help? Elohachi kamer. Right? There's something missing here. Lo yiskasa, lo b'mayim haroyim, lo b'mei ha-mishra klav. These things you can't bechlau, use, or say kriya shma when you're in their proximity, because they're mamish like mei raglayim. They're smelly, putrid water. Mei raglayim, this is what's missing from the Mishnah. Mei raglayim also you have to stay away from. Ad shiyak l'tochan mayim, until you pour water into it, but what it's talking about pouring water into is not a reservoir of putrid water. That's not going to help. What's talking about pouring water is meraglayim. You have what's it called, urine. We'll see how much urine per how much water, right? But that, if you pour water into the urine and dilute it, then you don't have to separate from the meraglayim. Achiyatul tochan mayim v'yikra. Tan rabbanim kama yatul tochan mayim. How much water do you have to put into the meraglayim to be matarit? Kolshu. Okay, any amount. As long as you put a little bit of water, like we said, all of this is only the Rabbanan. Urine is only asur kineged ha'amud, when it's coming out of the body. But if it's already on the ground, it's only the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan were meiko, they said if you put a little bit of water in, right, dilute it a little bit, then we're matter you to recreation. Rav Zakkai omer revius. Rav Zakkai says you have to have a revius of water. Okay? Omer Rav Nachman, machlokus levesof. That's only if you put the water in, after the urine already is there. So the water is going into the urine, then you need a revius. Avo betchila kol shehen. But if you put the water first and the urine went into the water, then we have a klal of kama bottle. That as the urine goes in, it's bottle, each little bit is bottle. So the first little bit of urine is bottle in that little bit of water, and then that becomes like water, and then the next one is bottle in that, and so on. And therefore you only need a kol shehen. Rav Yosef Omar machlokas lechatchila. No, the machlokas, whether you need a revius or a kol shehu, is only if you put it in the beginning. One holds that a kol shehu is enough because kama bottle. The other one holds you need a revius even if the water came first and the urine went into the water. Avol v'sof divrei akol revius. But if you pour water into meraglayim, there everybody holds you need a revius. Omer le Rav Yosef l'shmaya, I see the revius of demaya krib zakai. Bring me a revius, like Rav Zakkai said, right, mashma, that he was machmer, right, and the shaila now is either like the lishna kama or lishna basra, what's the chumra? Is the chumra only if the water was there first, the water was there afterwards, the meraglayim was there first, or is the chumra, even if what's it called, the water was there first, still you need a revius? That's the, that we'll see as a shaila. Let's see Rashi first. But mei hamishra sheshorim shom hapishton v'atan v'sehim masrichim. That's what they used to soak flax in to get it ready for making into thread. And the things, what's it called, rotted in the water and stunk. The kama maya romi v'azul kama yashul chetokul mivaklim halom rubinheim. And we're talking over here where water that you can go and be tovel in. Right? How can you pour water in that? It should be mutter. Meraglayim mu'atim, right? Meraglayim are a small amount. The hein b'chli, and they're in a kli, or others say what's it called, lav dafka kli. Even bekarka makes no difference, right? There's no difference where the meraglayim are, whether they're on the ground, in a hole, or in a kli. That since it's a small amount, right? It's not something you're tovel in, right? Then you just pour water and it's okay. Who baldi kros kriya shma etzla? Livesof shemeraglayim b'chli. You have meraglayim in a kli. The zen no sin l'tochan mayim. You're pouring water in the meraglayim to dilute it. He ka'amar Rebbe Zakkai revius. That's where you need a revius, where you pour the water into the meraglayim. Avol lechatchila shekidmu hamayim meraglayim. If you're pouring meraglayim into water, divrei akol kolshu. Then all you need is a kolshu. Shekshematul meraglayim bekli. Ulo v'sof rishon rishon shenofel l'tochan mayim misbatel. Since the water was there first, when you pour the meraglayim, every little bit of meraglayim that's poured into the water is bottle, and as it's bottle, it becomes water. And then the next bit of meraglayim also becomes water, so you don't need a revius. I see the Revi Yosef, Afilu B'tchila, right? Even though the water came first, you still need Revius. So that's how Rashi says that he was machmer like the second Lashon, which is an extra chumrah that doesn't, that if the water came first, what's it called, and you pour, if the urine came first and you're pouring water into, everybody holds you need a Revius. The machlokus is only where the water came first, and you're pouring meraglayim into water. And there, even so, you need a revius. Okay. Okay, first of all, this may harmayim haroyim and may hamishra, things that stink, but they're not urine and they're not soa. So Rashi holds that you don't need a harchok of dal and amis on these things. As long as you stay far enough away that you don't smell them, that's enough. And the Meiri says you have to be marchik dalet amis. Anything that smells, that's putrid, has the same din as meraglayim and soa. And the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam both paskin like that. Okay. Now the Rif and the Rosh and the Shulchan Aruch all paskin, like Rashi seems to say, that you need a revius whether the meraglayim comes first or the water came first, like the second lashon lechumra. Like Rav Zakkai. In the Rambam, there's a machlokas achronim, what the Rambam holds. Could be the Rambam holds that, like the first lashon, that if you have the water first and you're pouring meraglayim into water, you don't need a revius. But lamaisa, it's a machlokas, the Kesef Mishnah, who says that the Rambam holds, just like the Rif and the Rosh, that there's no difference and it's a chumra completely, and the Rishon Letzion, who says that the Rambam holds like the first Lush, that you only need a revius if you're pouring water into Meiraglai and not Meiraglai into water. Okay? The Riaz holds that when you don't have a revius of, you only need a revius if there's a revius of Meiraglai. But anything up to a revius of Meiraglai, you just need to pour water that's more than the Meiraglai. Okay? And others argue on that revius is a minimum. No matter how much meraglayim there is, you always need at least a revius. But according to some, you don't need more than a revius ever. And according to some, you need more than a revius if you need two revius and if it's two meraglayim. So as much meraglayim in one time, again, it's all the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan made up the Gedorim. So if a person urinates, you can urinate a lot, you can urinate a little bit. As long as it's one time, everybody pretty much holds that you only need one revius. It doesn't make a difference how much meraglayim there is. Okay, but if you urinate twice, okay, then you need a revius per every time that you urinate. So if you have three accumulations, you need three revius. That's what's called how the Rambam holds, and the Rashba holds. It doesn't make a difference how many times and how much meraglayim, one revius suffices. Okay, and the Rambam also holds that if you're pouring water into meraglayim, that it shouldn't be kama bottle. You can't pour a little bit at a time, because then the water's bottle. You have to pour it all at once. And the Rashba holds, no, here they were makel, right, and again, it's a cool of meraglayim, and even if you pour it a little bit at a time, it's also okay. Okay, let's go on. Tana Rabbanan, Gerev shel rei, v'ovit shel meraglayim. These are bedpans, right? A bedpan for tzoa is called a gerev, and a bedpan for meraglayim is called an avit. Okay, there are other words for this besides a bedpan. Somebody knows there is a word for for rei and for meraglayim, but whatever, it's a bedpan. So asur likros kriyashma kinegda. The apple pisha ain't bohem klum. Even if they're empty, it's not because of the meraglayim and the tzoa that's in them. It's because since they're miyuchad for meraglayim and tzoa, so according to the Rambam and the Rosh, they become like a besakise. And just like a besakise, even if at that time there's no tzoa or whatever, the besakise itself is asur, so too this becomes like a portable besakise. Others say, since you use it constantly for urine and for tzoa, so it becomes mias. It's not like a besakise. It doesn't have the din of a besakise, but it's mias. it absorbs the meraglayim, it absorbs the tzoa, it becomes mias. The nafkamina would be if you could clean it completely, right? If you could, you know, what's it called, kasher it, make it completely clean, would it be okay or not? So we'll see, it's a machlokas rishonim. If it's because it has a din of a beis akisei, it has, makes no difference if it's clean or not clean, it's still awesome. If it's because it's mias, because it's full of absorbed meraglayim and tzoa, then if you can get what's absorbed out of it, then it should be mutter. Okay. Tosus here says that it only applies to a gerif shalrei, which is cheris, which is what's it called, earthenware, because it absorbs. Mashma from him that the reason it's also is because it absorbs it and therefore it's mias. But it's something that doesn't absorb, like glass, which isn't absorbent, so there it wouldn't be usher. As long as you clean it, it's fine. We'll see other materials also are similar to that. So the avit and the geref are usher no matter what. And meraglayim themselves are only mutter if you put water into them. You dilute them. The kamayat l'tochem mayim kolshu. And how much do you have to put in? Any amount. Rav Zakeh or Ravias? Okay, and Rav Zakeh says a Ravias. Okay, that we had before, and we had the Gemara explains that before. Where is their machlokas? You see Rashi? Gerifa avit, shnehem kli cheresem. Rashi also says they're both made out of earthenware. We're not porcelain, not glazed, right? Regular, what's it called, earthenware. That's very porous. El shel rei kori geref, el shel meraglayim kori avit. They're both the same, basically the same kind of thing, except when you use it for tzoa, it's called a geref. When you use it for meraglayim, it's called an avit. Asur likros kriyash makinegdan, koelum yuchodim l'kach, afo pisha ein vasochem klum. Since they're miyuchad, for this purpose, even though there's nothing in them, right, still they're awesome. And if you have meraglayim in a kli that's not set aside, not a bedpan, stam, you urinated into a cup. So, for what's it called? For a urine test or whatever. So you have meraglayim there, it's also to recreation. How much you put water in? And we explained already, the Gemara explained before, how much water and what the conditions are. Okay. The what's it called? Tosus says that it's only cheres that's also, and he mentions only glass that's mutter. Other Rishonim mention that metal is also mutter because it can also be cleaned. And the Shulchan Aruch says that cheres and wood is aser, but glass is mutter, right? And the Rashba says that even wood is mutter. It's only cheres. Wood also depends again. What's the isra over here? Is the isra because miyuchad? Right, or because it's masriach, and how much can you get the thing out? Wood also, you could kasher, you could get the clean it completely or whatever, even though it's somewhat porous. The Taz says, l'chora, zechuch is glass, is a machlokus by kasheris, whether it's absorbent or not, whether it's porous or not, glass. And Sfardin basically hold glass to be, what's it called, that it doesn't absorb anything. And therefore it makes sense to say that glass, according to Sfardin, should be able to be clean completely, it's not absorbent, not porous. But according to Ashkenazim, glass has a din of cheres. We're machmen with glass that, you know, can't kasher it. So according to Ashkenazim, it should be that if you have a glass bedpan, it should also be awesome, because we hold it's porous. But l'maisa l'chor yikim mechalik, because that's what it says, that it absorbs only with heat. Here we're talking about cold. And what's it called? So the chora, their glass, and it's only a chumra the gabi kashrus. So here the metzias is that it's not something that's, if you wash it off, there's nothing there, right? Nothing is absorbed, just stam like this. And therefore it could be that even according to Ashkenazim, the glass would be okay. Porcelain is klicheres, is earthenware that is glazed with a glass covering. Okay, let's go on. It depends on the material. Plastic is also porous, so it's like more like wood than glass, or it's more like metal, metal and wood. Okay. Okay, let's go by. Bein lifnei hamita, bein la'achar hamita. Now, if you have meraglayim or you have tzoa, Now we're talking where you have it in the house. Until now we're talking where it's outside, and you have to be marked Dalet Amos or whatever. Okay, now what if it's in the house, and it's near your bed? So whether it's in front of the bed, in other words, between the bed and you, Bein La'achra Mita, or it's behind the bed, meaning between the, what's it called, it's between you and the bed. It's between the bed and the Meiraglayim. The bed separates between you and the Meiraglayim of the Tzoa. So, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, La'achar Hamita Kore. If it's behind the bed, so the bed separates between you and the Meiraglayim, the bed can be a Mechitza. And therefore you can read Kriya Shema without any Harchok. Lifnei Hamita, but if it's between you and the bed isn't separating between you and it, then Eino Kore Abo Marchik Arba Amos V'Kore. Then you need to be Marchik Arba Amos. But Arba Amos helps, even inside the house. That's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Afilu Bayis Mea Ama Lo Yikra Atshiyotzi Oshiyanichem Tachas Hamita. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, no, inside a house, the bed doesn't make by inside the house, nothing helps, because the house makes everything considered like Arba Amos. So then you either have to put them under the bed or get them out completely. Arba Amos doesn't help in the house, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, if the Tzoa or the Meiraglayim is in the house and there's nothing separating between you and it, Arba Amos is still enough to separate, just like outside. Okay. See, boy, Elohu. So now the Gemara is a shy like this. Hechi Komer, what's the pshat over here? Achar Hamita Kori Miyad. If the bed separates, then you don't need any separation beyond that. You can read right next to the bed, even though you're not Arba Amos away from the Meiraglayim. But Lamaisa, the bed is a Mechitza, and that's good enough. Or Miyad, Lifnei Hamita Marchik Arba Amos, the Kore. And if there is no bed separating, if the Meiraglayim are in front of the bed, and there's nothing separating between you and the Meiraglayim, then you need Arba Amos. Oh, Dilma, Hachikomer. La'achar Hamita Marchik Dalet Amos V'Kori. If the bed is separating, then you need 4 Amos after the bed, then you can read Kriya Shema. If you have the bed and 4 Amos, that's good enough. Lifnei Hakor Amita, but there's no bed, then Eino Kori Klal. Then you can't read at all, then Arba Amos won't help either. Right? That's the Shaila. Since inside the house, if the bed separates, is then Arba Amos good? But if the bed doesn't separate, then even Arba Amos won't help. That's the Shaila in Rav Shimon Gamliel. Okay? Rav Shimon of Elazar says Arba Amos doesn't help the Chlal. Right? Even if it's on the other side of the bed. But now the Shaila is Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. What does he hold about the bed? Toshma, Tetanya, Rav Shimon of Elazar, Omer, Achar Hamita, now don't get upset that the fact is that now we're changing around the Mandi Amrim. Gemara's going to speak about that. But now we have Rav Shimon ben Elazar saying what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel said before, and vice versa. So Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Achar Hanita Kori Miyad. If it's on the other side of the bed is separating, then you don't need to be marking anything, you can read immediately. The bed is enough of the Mechitza. Lifnei Hanita Marchik Arba Amos. But if it's not, the bed doesn't separate, then you marchik Arba Amos, even inside the house, and you can read Kriya Shema. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Afilu Bayis Neya Ama Lo Yikra Tshiyotziyem O Shenichem Tachas Amita. But by what's it called, even if the house 100 Amos, right, and you're on the 99 Amos away, it doesn't help, right? The only thing that will help inside the house is to take them out of the house, or to put them under the bed. So Mar says, Bayin Ipshita. Okay, so you answered my Shaila. The one who holds that Arba Amos helps, holds you only need Arba Amos if there's nothing separating between you and the Meiraglayim. But if the bed separates, then you don't even need Arba Amos. Then you can read immediately after the bed. Okay? However, Masnaisa Kashina Adodi, Lamaisa, the Brises contradict each other. Because in the first Brisa, Rav Shimon Gamliel says what Rav Shimon Elazar says in the second Brisa, and vice versa. Where it says, Epuch Bas Raisa, change around the Mandi Amrim in the second one. Make Rav Shimon Elazar say what Rav Shimon Gamliel said, and Rav Shimon Gamliel say what Rav Shimon Elazar says. Zemara says, "My chos is the afres basraisa epuch kamaisa." How do you know to switch around the second braisa? That really it was Rav Shimon Elazar who said that in a house 4 amos never helps, no matter what, because the whole house is considered 4 amos, right? And And Reb Shimon Gamliel was the one who said, Taka, that it does help. How do you know that that's the proper attribution of the Man D'Omrim? So Mara says, Man Shamas Le D'Omr Kulei Bayis Karba Amas D'Omi Reb Shimon Elazar. Who's the one who holds in other places this halacha, that a house is considered like Arba Amos? That's Reb Shimon Elazar. Rashi says he doesn't know exactly where the source for that is. Where is this Reb Shimon Elazar? Others say it's by Halichus Eruvin. We find that Reb Shimon Elazar says this halacha. What's nogea to us, l'gabi this, is negelvasim. Right? It says you're not allowed to go Arba Amos before you wash your hands in the morning. So many people, therefore, makbid to have a shisel with a meiraglayim right by their bed. So you don't have to walk Arba Amos. But the Rashba holds that kol habayis, based on this halacha, is like Arba Amos. So as long as you're under the same roof, you can walk a mile. As long as you're under the same roof to wash your hands, and it's not considered like you walk more than Arba Amos, because the whole house is considered Arba Amos. And most people are somach on that, that you therefore can walk to the bathroom and be notul netilas yadayim shachris there, right? You wash negelvasser in the bathroom, even if it's more than Arba Amos away from your bed, because whatever's under the same roof has a din of Arba Amos. Rashi. Vein lifnei hamita, shein hamita mafsekes beino leveinam. Whether they are in front of the bed, so the bed doesn't separate between you and them. Bein la'achar amita, shamita matzekes beineim, osur. Still it's osur, makes no difference. If the bed separates, doesn't separate, because the whole house is considered Arba Amos. And it's not, that's not considered a separation. Oshi anichim tachas amita garsina, the lo garsina kli besokli. Here it says that the eitzah, how to get rid of this merag lines, to put them under the bed, or to put them out of the house. Okay, now we'll see what tachas hamita means. Tachas hamita kilu hayu tmunim ba'aretz. It's under the bed, under certain circumstances, which we'll get to later, is considered like it's covered completely. Hechi komer of Shimon Gamliel, bayin ipshit delansha, sheva sein resparsha. You've answered our shayla. Bechiluk shebein lifnei hamita lachar hamita. That lifnei hamita, you need arba amos, and achar hamita kori miyat. You don't need arba amos if it's the bed is separated. But masnaisa milkashin, shehuch lefushi tasa. The maisa, the first price and the second price, they contradict each other. Because what Reb Shimon ben Elazar said in the first price, Reb Shimon Gamliel says in the second price, and vice versa. Man shamas le lo yodati hechani. Rashi says, I don't know where this, what the source of this is. Where the Gemara says, who is the one who holds like that? I don't know where that is. And the Reb Kiveger over here brings down a million different places, which you think maybe in the beginning he's telling you where it is. Not. He's bringing a million other places where Rashi says the same thing. Where the Gemara says something and Rashi says, I don't know where that is. Okay. Okay, weiter.
The whole house is Dalaramas. Do we have a problem with the whole house being a beta kisei?
Weiter, no. Okay. Bal mine, their beta kiseis weren't in the house. Okay. Okay. Bal mine merafuna. Mita pachos mishlosha pshita li dekalovadami. Now the way Rashi learns is this is going now on Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says that if you put it under the bed, is it good enough? Now the shaila is, what does that mean? What kind of bed are we talking about? How high is the bed from the ground? Okay, well, see, there's two other ways of learning this gemara, but this is the way Rashi learns that the bo minei rafuna is going back on Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says you can put the meiraglayim under the bed, even though the whole house is like Dalet Amos, you can put it under the bed, and that's good enough. So he says like this. If the bed is less than three tvachim off the ground, right, so then, pshita li dekalova dummy, then anything less than three tvachim is like it's on the ground. So it's mamish like the meiraglayim is covered with the bed. It's like the bed is sitting on the meiraglayim, covering it up completely. That would surely be good. Shlosh dummy. Shlosh of such and it's less than three. Three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Mahu. Right? In other words, I know, Omar le lo yadano, right? I don't know. Anything between three and nine, he said, I'm not sure. Is that called the covering? Or since it's so high, it's not leveled, it's not considered covered, even if it's under the bed. Asara vadi lo mi boyli. But if it's ten tvachim off the ground, it's so high off the ground that it's not can't be considered a covering for the Meirag Lion. Right? That's the way Rashi learns. Let's see Rashi. Pshitali, v'meinichum tachas hamita, v'ragleha ktsarim, she'ein heimenru, v'karka shloshet tvachim. This is going back on Rav Shimon Elazar, who says that if you put the Mei Raglayim under the bed, then you could read Kriya Shema. So if the space between the floor and the bed, or the Mei Raglayim in the bed at least, is less than 3 tefachim, it's lavud, and it's covered. The Aryein Kitmurim, they're like they're covered. They're buried. Asara vade lo sha'alti mimeno. I didn't ask you about 10. If there's a space of 10 tefachim between the Mei Raglayim and the bed, then for sure it's another rishos. So, right, the nira kilu eino tachteva. That's not considered under the bed. The bed's so high above the Mei Raglayim. Me'achashesh hefzik kol kach in zekisu. That for sure doesn't cover it up. The shaila is only between 3 and 10. Is that good or not? And the Gemara doesn't answer the shaila. The suffix. Okay. Now that's how Rashi learns. Rav Hai Gon learns that this shaila is going back on Rav Shimon Gamliel. Rav Shimon Gamliel says that the bed serves as a mechitza between the Mei Raglayim and the person. And then you don't even have to mark it Arba Amos. You can read Kriya Shema, Mamish on the other side of the bed, even if you're not 4 Amos away from the Mei Raglayim, as long as there's a bed that separates. So shaila is, how high does that bed have to be considered a mechitza? Okay, if it's less than 3 tefachim, it definitely can't be a mechitza. That's low. Right? It's like a piece of the ground. So it doesn't separate. If it's what's it called, 10 tefachim high, so it's like a regular mechitza, then it could be separated. If the bed is between 3 tefachim and 10, that's the shaila. Right? Is that big enough to separate or not? Okay? And Rabbeinu Yeruchim has a third shita here. He says it also is talking according to Shem Gamliel, that the bed separates. The shaila is, how close does the Mei Raglayim have to be to the bed that the bed should be considered a mechitza? Let's say the Mei Raglayim is on one end of the room and the bed's in the middle of the room. So there's more than 10 tefachim between the bed and the Mei Raglayim, then the bed is not matzik. Then we say that it's like together in the house. If the Mei Raglayim is within 3 tefachim of the bed, then the bed could be a mechitza. If the Mei Raglayim is between 3 and 10, that's the shaila. Lamaisa, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch paskin that the same halachas that apply outside apply inside. And therefore, what's it called? A stama bed that doesn't have a din of a regular mechitza doesn't separate. You need, what's it called, regular arba amos, like you would need anywhere else. So we're not nakel in the house, we're not machmer in the house. We don't hold like Rav Shimon Lazar, and we don't hold necessarily like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that the mita is, which is bein lifnei amita, bein lachar amita, you need arba amos, like the Tanakhama before. And lemaisa, however, if the bed is mamash mechitza, it's solid. It's not that there's a space under the bed, but the bed has solid walls that are 10 tefachim high, then has like a din of a mechitza, like on, and the outside of mechitza also helps here, it would help them. Okay, let's go on. See, we're going to be behind. Okay. Omra Baya, Shapir Avadis Deloi Bayaloch. Right, it's a good thing you didn't ask about a bed that's 10 tefachim high. Kol Asora Rishus Achrisi, because once it's 10 tefachim high, it's a different Rishus. So either it means then it's a Mechitza, or then it means that since it's 10 tefachim between the Mei Raglayim and the bed, they're like they're in two different Rishuyos, so the bed can't be a separation between the Mei Raglayim and the person, because the bed and the Mei Raglayim have no connection to each other. Or, like Rashi says, once the bed is 10 tefachim above the Mei Raglayim, it can't be considered a cover. The bed's a different reshus than the Mei Raglayim. It can't be considered a cover. Those are the three ways of learning. Omar Rava, Hilchasa Pachos Mishlosha Kalavadami. What's the halacha? Less than 3 tefachim, it covers it, like that's what we learn Rashi's way. Less than 3 tefachim is kalavod, and the Mei Raglayim under the bed is covered. Asara reshus achrisa. If it's 10 tefachim high, it definitely doesn't cover it, and it doesn't help. Mishloshet Asara, Hainu Deboi Minei Rav Yosef Huna, from 3 to 10, that was Rav Yosef's Shaila to Rav Huna, Velo Poshet Lei, and he didn't answer him. Omar Rav, Halacha Kriv Shim Ben Elazar. Rav said the Halacha is like Rav Shim Ben Elazar, so it's irrelevant. No, it isn't. It's relevant, according to Rashi at least. And therefore, what's it called? The whole bias is considered Arba Amos, and if it's not under a bed in a way that's considered covered or taken out of the house, you can't read Kriya Shema. The Chain Omar Bali, Omar of Yaakov, Brod the Bashmuel, Halacha Kriv Shimon Elazar. Right? Bali said in the name of Yaakov, Brod the Bashmuel. We had before why he's called Brod the Bashmuel. Halacha Kriv Shimon Elazar. Rava Omer ain't halacha k'Rav Shimon Elazar, and Rava says what's it called? The halacha is not like Rav Shimon Elazar, and like we said, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, all hold the halacha is not like Rav Shimon Elazar, and this the chumra we don't say the bias is k'dalad amas, and therefore the same halachas apply in the house as outside the house, as much as you have to mark it from their aglaim. It as much helps and doesn't help helps inside the house just as much as outside the house. That doesn't mean though that you can't be somech on bias is k'dalad amas l'kula. Or other halachas. Okay. Rav Achai, he asked le librei bei Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel. Okay. Bar Marta, Rav Acha was making a chasana for his son, and the chasana was in the house of Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marta. He was having a big house, so they made the chasana there. Aile lechupa v'lohavi mistayim milsa. So after the chasana, they went to consummate the marriage. And they weren't able to. They weren't able to consummate the marriage. He wasn't able to have relations. Also, basrei liyune. So the father went to see what's going on. Why the son told him he has problems. Right? He can't finish off the marriage. He can't consummate the marriage. So chazah sefer Torah demancha. He saw the sefer Torah in the room. Omar lahu echu hashta lo ase sakantun lebri. If I wouldn't have come to check things out, you'd have put my son in danger. He would have made him have relations in a room where there's a Sefer Torah. The Tanya, Bayesh Yesh Bo Sefer Torah, Tfilin, Osel Shamish Bo Samita, you're not allowed to have relations in a room. Bayesh over here means a room. In a room that has a Sefer Torah or Tfilin in it, Achi Yotzim, unless you get him out of that room, Oshi Anichim Kli Besoch Kli, or you put them in one Kli inside another Kli. Amar Abaya Lo Shonu Ela B'Kli She'eno Kelya. That you need two Kelim, only helps if one of them isn't a kli that's specific for that thing. One of them is not the tefillin zekel, the thing that's made for that thing. How about the kli shehu kelyon? But if it's a kli that's made for that, you have two tefillin zekels. That's considered like one kli. That's not considered two. Afilu asora mani kechad monadom. Even 10 of them is like one. Okay. Let's see. Rashi till here. Aile lechupa. He couldn't finish off the marriage. He couldn't have relations. You almost killed my son, that he should be punished, right, with death for having relations in a place where there's a Sefer Torah. If all 10 are tilin zekels, then they're considered like one. Okay. Tomorrow, Mr. Hashem, we'll go back over this and see what the halacha is, the Gali Sefer Torah and Tefillin or whatever, and hopefully tomorrow we will finish the Perek.